Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Scriptures. As we reflect on your word to us this day, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, and courageous in our response. In the love of Jesus, our Saviour, teacher, and friend. Amen. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. A culture of prayer. Over these past few weeks, we've been reflecting on different aspects of prayer. The prayer of adoration. We express our love for the Lord in different ways. Personally, I find the words of hymns or worship songs ignite my faith. God of gods, we sound his praises. Highest heaven its homage brings. Earth and all creation raises glory to the King of Kings. Or of some of the songs we've sung this morning already. This is Amazing Grace. What a wonderful name it is. Light of the world. I find, it may not be true for us all, that songs, hymns, ignite my faith and make me want to adore the Lord Jesus. There's the prayer of adoration. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving. For life, for health, for our homes, our family, our friends. What has been called common blessings, commonly overlooked. Above all, of course, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his great love for each one of us. Or as one prayer expresses it, give us, we pray, such a sense of all your mercies that our hearts may be truly thankful. George Herbert, the Puritan reformer, he put it like this: Lord, you've given so much to me. Give one thing more, a grateful heart. Then, of course, there's the prayer of confession, where we've failed and fallen short next of what God would have us be, perhaps summed up by the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The prayers of adoration, thanksgiving, confession. We've reflected on all those forms of prayer, which I guess many of us are quite familiar with. But now we move on to unfamiliar territory, and shocking even, the prayer of lament, the next one. But before we do that, a word of light relief. Last week, my 9-year-old grandson is taking Lent very seriously. And at breakfast, his mother, as usual, poured out the Weetabix for him. And he said, now, Theo, like some sugar. And he said, no, Mum, I've given it up for Lent. I'll have syrup instead. What do we mean by lament? To express deep sorrow, grief, regret, sometimes expressed when we're in the pit of depression. Often when we feel isolated, alone, helpless. Sometimes when we feel trapped and there's no way of escape. And often, well, sometimes there's even an element of complaint and blaming God for my misfortune. As Jeremiah put it, he's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. That's how one Bible writer expressed his prayer. But surely he was the exception rather than the rule. You rarely come across those raw emotions in the Bible, don't you? In preparing for today, I was amazed how often the prayer of complaint occurs, lament appears throughout the Bible. The cry of Abraham to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The cry of the Israelites to be set free from their bondage in Egypt. The cry of Moses for the people to be spared. Go down, Moses, go down to Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Negro spirituals expressed like that. The cry of Jeremiah at the ruins of Jerusalem, as we'll be thinking this morning. The cry of Job, all 42 chapters of it. The cry of Nehemiah, hearing about the utter devastation of God's city, Jerusalem. And in the New Testament, the cry of the blind, the sick, the bereaved. The cry of the Christian martyrs down the ages. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we read, they called out with a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth. But I've discovered that it's in the Psalms, more than anywhere else, that we find this cry, this prayer of lament. There are 150 Psalms in the Bible. Does anybody know how many are Psalms of lament? Take a guess, or maybe you know. Let's have some suggestions. Not quite most of them, but a lot of them. I've put down here, one writer has calculated that there are 42 individual Psalms of lament and 16 community Psalms of lament. You know, we shouldn't be surprised. We tend to put the men and women of the Bible on pedestals, yet they were as human as we are today. They danced and sang. They rejoiced and laughed. They argued and confessed. They mourned and lamented. They expressed emotions to God in prayer, just as we do today, addressing God in words that would be echoed by Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Next slide, please. They would complain, for your sake we face death all the day long. They would beg for help. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. And the prayer might end with words of hope. But I trust in your unfailing love. Martin Luther, the great reformer, treasured these Psalms of lament. He said, what is the greatest in the Psalms but this most earnest speaking amid the storms of every kind? Where do you find deeper, more sorrowful, more pitiful words of sadness than in the Psalms of lament? I want us to pause now as we consider the place of lament in our own lives. Maybe it's individual, it's personal to us. It may be the illness of someone who's close to us. It may be bereavement. We've lost someone we love. It might be redundancy. It might be financial problems, the struggle day in, day out to make ends meet. It might be the breakdown of relationships within our marriage, within our family, with a close friend. It might be individual besetting failures and sins that we just can't get rid of. We bring our joys, our sorrows, our protests, and dare I say it, our complaints to God. God isn't afraid of our grief. He doesn't cower when we complain, and he doesn't take our lament lightly. Some of the individual personal laments include serious illness, betrayal by a close friend, waiting for God to act. Then what someone has called the dark night of the soul. Be that as it may, that for some of us our lament is not personal, individual, but corporate. We're all in this together. Possibly the issue over climate change. Certainly the threat posed by the coronavirus. Poverty in other parts of the world. For example, I read this week, the humanitarian crisis in Yemen is the worst on earth. Thousands are without safe water, food or sanitation. Over 24 million people urgently need help. Lord, is this the sort of world you want? It may be years of war between Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan. On Friday evening's news, I think it was, there was a tragic interview with a father in Afghanistan who had just lost his wife and all his children in a bombing raid. It may be the persecution of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In more than 50 countries in the world, Christians find they have to meet secretly because their churches have been razed to the ground. They have to flee their homes. They risk imprisonment and even martyrdom. Lord, is this the sort of world you want? Listen to the lament of a Christian in South Sudan. She shared this lament with other Christians in her Bible group. And she actually wrote these words down. This is what she says. South Sudan was once a nation full of people, but now it has become empty. Many children are left orphans. Others become street children and have nothing to eat. The enemy has killed all the children whom I carried and raised. Our children had no future, for the enemy had conquered us. Tears flowing down my cheeks, no one to comfort us. Oh Lord, think about this. Should you treat your own children this way? Tears flowing down my cheeks. An African church leader once said, there are things that can only be seen with eyes that have cried. I want to pause here for a moment. In front of you, on your Bible, I think there is a piece of paper. And I want you to write down on it your lament, if you'd like to do that. It may be a very individual, personal lament, burdens in our own lives, or it could be corporate concerns, worries, burdens that we share with others. Let's just take a couple of minutes to do that.
Working everything for good. see.
Lord, I believe that you weep with me. Before we move on, let's pray this responsive prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your world is broken and diseased. We are a part of that world. We weep at the injustice, poverty, and the pain. Lord, have mercy. We cry out for healing and justice in our own lives. Christ, have mercy. We pray for forgiveness and the strength to forgive others. Lord, have mercy. God of mercy and compassion, hear our cries. Forgive us our sins. Renew our hope, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That verse from Lamentations provides a glimmer of light in the darkness. It's far from obvious, because at first sight, Lamentations is without a doubt the most tragic book of the Bible. Written almost certainly by Jeremiah the prophet, it vividly recounts the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 587 BC. They have brought lawlessness, theft, famine, and suffering. If you think that's ancient history, think of some of the television pictures you've probably seen this week of refugees, survivors of a military attack. Remember the children, hungry, tearful, and bewildered. Women wailing at the loss of husbands or sons. Older men dazed and confused, wandering around looking for food or water. And that is precisely the scene in Lamentations. Law and order have broken down. Children beg for food. Dead bodies lie in the streets. But what matters even more is that the destruction of Jerusalem, something that was unthinkable to God's people until it actually happened, was the worst possible nightmare for them. You see, Jerusalem was in a very special sense God's city. His temple was there. This is where he chose to live with his people. And when Jerusalem was burnt, the temple destroyed, the people deported, they knew that God had given them up to the enemy. Otherwise, it would never, never have happened. So it wasn't just the loss of the temple which devastated the people of God, but the loss of their identity. Such a traumatic event utterly changed the course of history. So much so that to this day, the Jewish people lament the destruction of the temple, and the temple was destroyed not once, but twice. The first time in 587 BC, it was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the second time by the Romans, within 30 years of the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus himself foresaw precisely this happening. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And to this day, year by year, on a day in July or August, the Jewish people set aside a day of prayer and fasting. And in every Jewish synagogue, the Book of Lamentations, all of Lamentations, is read aloud. And the five Lamentations tell the harrowing story of war, death, starvation, violation, the loss of status. And they're in the main community laments. But the central chapter, chapter 3, that Rosemary read to us earlier on, is the highly personal lament of an individual, possibly Jeremiah himself. I am the man who's seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than the light. Indeed, his hand has turned against me again and again all day long. Even when I call out for help, he shuts out my prayer. Jeremiah goes on and on and on, crying out his lament, not just for himself, but for the city and for the nation. He identifies with the sufferings of God's people. He empathizes with them. He doesn't just stand apart aloof. He's there. Yet he won't give up. Even when all hope dies, even when he says, my splendor is gone and all I had hoped from the Lord, he still somehow hangs on. I don't know how, but he does. And eventually the embers of his faith ignite when he recalls God's great love, his faithfulness, his compassion. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I want to say to you this morning, there are no easy answers to the prayer of lament. It would be far too simplistic to say it all ended happily ever after. And yet the God you and I worship, the God who's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, is the one who went all the way to the cross, whose soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, who cried out in utter despair, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet despite everything that would say otherwise, Good Friday was followed by Easter Day. Even so, there are no easy answers. Lamentations does give us language in which we can express our own grief and pain. Or as one Christian put it, when we're bereaved, violated, beleaguered by questions that strike at the root of our faith, here in Lamentations are words that we can make our own. And in doing so, we can make our journey back to God, who knows our suffering. 2 days ago, somebody drew my attention to some words I'd never come across before, a writer I'd never come across before, Annie Flint. Let me give you a little bit of background on her. Annie Flint, both her parents died during her early childhood. She grew up an orphan, but she was fortunate to be within a Christian family. Her childhood dream, teenage dream actually, of being a constant pianist, ended when she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when she was in her early 20s. And it was so severe that for the last 30 years of her life, she couldn't walk. Despite all this, she became a prolific writer and poet. And this is what she wrote. God gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labours increase. To added afflictions, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has run dry before the day is half done, when we reach the end of our earthly resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. Fear not that your need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. For Father, both you and your load he will bear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and gives and gives again. Or as Jeremiah simply expressed it, yet this I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of love, there are things that can be seen only with eyes that have cried. Give us, we pray, courage, especially in this time of Lent, to give ourselves to lamentation and to know again that your steadfast love never ceases. Deepen our love for you and for your world. So bring your healing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.